Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're exploring the third annual UBS PwC Billionaires Report. The report reveals that billionaire wealth returned to growth in 2016 after falling the year before, and it shines a spotlight on new trends among billionaires, including the use of networks and investment in art and sports. We'll delve into these findings with our panel, who'll join us from the United States, from Asia and from Europe, to discuss the new trends and the key drivers of wealth creation around the world. We start with Mike Ryan, Chief Investment Strategist for UBS Wealth Management Americas, first of all. Mike, let's talk about the takeaways from the 2017 UBS PwC Billionaires Report.
Is it always the sort of the headline story, or are you a man that's as interested by the granular detail as the big picture?
I obviously pay attention to both. First of all, I do think the headline is important about the fact that we are seeing this return to growth and billionaire wealth continue to expand. But I think some of the below the surface issues are critically important. In fact, they may be some of the most important takeaways of this report. One, of course, is just while we also know about the wealth that's created by billionaires, I think what's important is also the opportunities that are created by billionaires. You know, you think about the number of people they employ, you think about what they do for their communities, whether it's sponsoring sports teams, whether it is expanding the participation in the arts, you realize these billionaires have a huge impact in their communities and beyond their communities. So I think that's one of the important takeaways for me as well.
Joseph Stadler is Head Global Ultra High Net Worth, UBS. What are some of the key takeaways as you see it, Joe?
The first one is definitely the return to growth, which was robust compared to last year. You remember last year the question was raised, has global wealth creation by billionaires stalled? That was on the back of a very weak equity market in Far East, China especially. Also, the anti-corruption drives in China that were driving cooling off in the overall economy there. And this year, unexpectedly, things have turned around pretty dramatically. So billionaire growth, as we see it, has outgrown the MSCI by 200%. So billionaire growth grew by 17% compared to 8.5% growth of the global MSCI index.
John Matthews is Head of Private Wealth Management and Ultra High Net Worth, UBS Wealth Management Americas. John, what were some of the headlines out of the report for you?
Obviously, this has been the Asian century for great wealth and billionaire growth. I mean, for the first time ever, we've seen the number of Asian billionaires exceed that of the U.S. billionaires, even though the largest concentration of billionaire wealth is still in the U.S. We think the Asians will catch up with us really quickly. So I think is really a big number to look at. The other thing is that we dug in deep to, you know, what are the societal impacts of billionaires, if any. And when we looked at it, the job creation from billionaires, I think, is really remarkable. Or, you know, 27.7 million jobs are created just from this group alone. 2.6 million jobs were created just by the new entrants alone. And I think that's significant. And as I'd mentioned to someone earlier today, is that I think the evidence is there is that wealth creation equals job creation.
Now, John Matthews was talking there about the Asian century. We consider in a bit more detail what the report demonstrates in geographic terms. Now, let's go back to Mike Ryan. Mike, I wanted to ask you a little about the sort of geographic picture here, because it's quite interesting that we see the largest number, I think I'm right in saying, of billionaires in Asia now, outnumbering their US counterparts. But nevertheless, the US retains the greatest concentration of wealth. So that story of the US, I don't know, it's changed and their influence is coming from different places, but it's still the largest concentration of billionaire wealth, isn't it?
It is. Two things that jumped out at us is that a lot of the great wealth creation right now is being fueled out of Asia. We're, as you point out, we're seeing an unprecedented rate of billionaires being added. In fact, what you saw over the course in Asia, we had new billionaires created every 2 days. What you saw is that the number of billionaires across Asia is about 635, 640 now, and that compares to about 560 or so, 565 in the United States. So clearly you've seen the number of billionaires in Asia. Now this is something, if you go back and you look over the course of the last 20 years, that's a dramatic change in the composition of where wealth is being created. Now, the other point you made I think is really important is that where the largest pool of wealth is still domiciled, and where we continue to see wealth accumulate is in the United States. But the important thing here is that U.S. is not the only driver of wealth creation. There are new emergent drivers in other areas of the world, and clearly it's reflected in China, but as well as other countries such as India.
Joe Stadler, on this Asia-U.S. dynamic, can you expand on the trends here for us?
For the first time, the creation of Asian billionaires has outpaced the United States. So there are more billionaires in our survey coming out from Asia than from the United States. And even more dramatic is the number of billionaires printed. Every second day, there is a billionaire printed in Asia, mainly coming out of China. So you remember, 3 years ago, we spoke about every week one billionaire, then every 5 days, and that has accelerated to every 2 days.
Ravi Raju is head global ultra high net worth Asia Pacific UBS. So, as we've been hearing, Asia leads the way in wealth creation. Indeed, Asia is set to overtake the United States as the home of the billionaire. Ravi, is that the case? Tell us more.
Asia is now creating a billionaire every other day. And the number of Asian billionaires in terms of numbers has for the first time exceeded the number of billionaires in the U.S. which, as you know, over the last 15 years, 20 years that we've been following this report, for the first time that we've seen the numbers of billionaires in Asia actually overtake. At this rate of growth, we also feel that in the next 4 years, the actual amount of wealth controlled by the billionaires in Asia will overtake the amount of wealth controlled by billionaires in the U.S., which is also speaks to what is happening in terms of the Asian economies, in the last few years.
Now, another really striking theme in the report regards networks. Networks of a number of types are playing an increasingly important and powerful role, as Mike Ryan explains. And we're not just talking about friendship networks or family networks, although those are factors. But there's this theme of networks driving so much development across this area, isn't there?
It is. It's interesting because I think there's always been a networking connection for the billionaires or the wealth creators in the world. But I think there's a greater importance right now on networks, and they're tapping into different types of networks. They're tapping into networks for several reasons, where there's co-investing opportunities, where they can continue to grow wealth and partner with other innovators and entrepreneurs. There's certainly partnering going on with regard to philanthropic, where you're seeing the ability to leverage pools of wealth is driving societal change. And then you're also seeing this networking in terms of, driving the ongoing search for the next great innovation. So it's not just about investing in what is currently here, but also what may transform the world in time to come. So it's a clue those networks are ever evolving, and they're broader than they were before. The ability to connect with people has never been greater. The willingness of individuals to interact socially is great because of the information sharing now. So I would say that that networking is critical for the ongoing impact that billionaires have in society, on innovation, and also in economic growth.
Still to come on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll continue our review of the 2017 report findings, and we'll look to the future in this space. John Matthews, can we turn next to this notion of social and cultural capital, I suppose, and the investment in those things that happens in concert, really, with the financial investments that this cohort is making?
And I think what you find is this group, and they do it primarily in networks, they're really connected, especially the newer entrants. They're typically can be a little younger than the existing billionaires, obviously, but they're much more connected and networked, and either if it's through philanthropic giving or impact investing or just trying to look for alternative investment amongst themselves where they go directly to each other. Many of these new ways of investing are really just formed out of the networks in which they work and live in now. We see it all the time at UBS in that, we'll bring groups together and it may be focused on a certain topic, let's say philanthropy for example. And what you see happening is the networking between the participants is really amazing and the side conversations that they're having outside of the normal program agenda. And I think that's what this group is used to doing, especially the newer group of billionaires. They're really closely connected. They're looking for additional investment opportunities, maybe outside of the mainstream. And many times it's to where they can have some sort of impact in the communities that they live in.
How would you talk, Joe Statler, about social impact, the number of jobs impacted by this class? The report makes clear how significant this area is, doesn't it?
We try to figure out the social impact of the billionaires. So we collect the data on their passions, mainly philanthropic passions, arts, and others. And others, what we did, we tried to collect the number of jobs affected directly or indirectly by billionaire behavior. And we came to an astounding number of close to 28 million jobs worldwide being directly or indirectly impacted by roughly 1,500 billionaires. That equals the entire workforce of the United Kingdom. That is an average of up to 17,500 workers and employees by billionaire. That's a number that is new. That's a number that surprised us a lot. And that's a number that underscores the community impact of the billionaire cohorts.
And on billionaires giving back to the communities that created and nurture them and their businesses in other ways too, there are several interesting shifts detailed in the report, with art as ever more of a focal point, and now sport too. We've heard some of the stats. John Matthews, tell us more about what these trends mean.
And I think the main part there, or the most important findings there, are that many of these billionaires are trying to find ways to give back to the communities that they live and work and made their money in, quite frankly. And some of the ways they do it, right, they're able to showcase their own collections and offer it out to the public. They create their own galleries. They actually help with the funding of public facilities. So access to art today is greater than it's ever been. And then the whole phenomenon of sports franchises, you know, obviously there's a group of wealthy individuals and billionaires that buy them just to make money. But I would say that the real sustainable sports franchises today are really built on the foundation of creating a strong community around the sports franchise. And that's one way that these billionaires, these creators of wealth, can give back to the community. It's not just about winning on the field. It's about how do you sell tickets and how do you make the people feel like they're involved? How do you improve the communities around the stadiums? And how do you make sure that you have a societal positive impact?
Plenty of interesting learnings on billionaires' ownership of sports clubs or franchises. Mike Ryan, tell us why you find this so striking.
Remember that billionaires are very actively engaged in sporting activities and ownership of sports franchises. It's important because a lot of communities identify around their sports franchises, but also remember there's a lot of economic activity that's generated that is associated with these sports teams. So remember, often what will happen is the areas that surround the stadiums, there's jobs that are created, there's opportunities that are created, communities can, you know, there's all sorts of businesses that pop up, so it also creates opportunities for entrepreneurs. So it's not only the fact that people are entertained and engaged by sports, but it's also that in and of itself can help fuel opportunities within communities as well.
Finally on the program, Joseph Statler looks to the future for us and explains how the entrepreneurship ratios we see within this cohort are particularly noteworthy.
Unlike the public perception that billionaires are or are perceived as individuals who inherited. So in 1996, we had 50-50. 50% of billionaires inherited their fortunes and 50% were entrepreneurs. Unlike public perception, that ratio has gone in favor of entrepreneurship. So the entrepreneurship ratio today is 70-30. So 70% of billionaires in our cohort are entrepreneurs who created massive opportunities out of nothing. And that trend accelerates, and we will hit 80% soon. I think that's a message that should be a resounding message to many people who may have different perceptions and views.
And the last word to Mike Ryan. A final takeaway from you, perhaps, Mike.
And the last thing I would go back to is something that is really probably underappreciated, because while people look at this wealth creation and wealth accumulation is clearly benefiting the wealthiest people in the world, let's not forget about those who are the direct or indirect beneficiaries, the people who are employed through the companies that billionaires involve in. And we estimate it's over 27.5 million people globally. That's roughly the same size as the working population in the entire United Kingdom. This is a meaningful impact. In fact, in the last year alone, you know, those that became billionaires, they employ 2.8 million people. So think about this new incremental wealth and the new billionaires, and think of the people that they employ. So this is not just driving wealth for wealth's sake. It's also driving wealth that creates opportunities for the rest of society.
And that's Mike Ryan, bringing us to the end of this 160th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at the website or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.